Today's reading is from 1 Kings 19, verses 3 to 13. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord appears to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
Good morning. If you were with us last week, or if you've caught up online since, then you will have heard a great talk last week from Paul, talking about our emotional well-being, and an amazing testimony from Adrian about his personal experience of emotional well-being, and not always well-being at times. But we thank you for what you shared last week. So I just want to ask at the beginning, what steps have you taken to improve your emotional well-being? I don't need you to answer, because I know that would be tough. But it's important that we think about these things. And Linda prompted us earlier as well. Maybe you've taken steps, literally steps, in your physical well-being. But I want to encourage you to continue to take steps in all of these areas as we go through. I have to say, I can't mention a name, but a few weeks ago I was talking about sleep and naps, and I heard somebody yesterday say that they managed to fall asleep twice in one Pilates class. So, I'll bow down to them. That's amazing, amazing. I think my work here is done. But as we think about our well-being, we've been looking at different areas and different dials. And I want to ask you today, where is the dial on your spiritual well-being? So if it were like a fuel tank, where would your dial be on your spiritual well-being? Now, Tracy, my wife, who you've just heard read, Tracy's particular about many things. And she's very discerning, clearly. You can understand that. Who groaned? Somebody groaned. But she's very particular about the fuel dial on the car. And she says, do we need to get fuel? And I look at it and I'm like, no, it's half full or it's quarter full. And she's like, but that means we need to get fuel. And I'm like, no, we've got a quarter of a tank left. It's fine. So we disagree on how to manage the fuel in the car. But she takes great delight in reminding me that I'm the only one out of the two of us who's ever run the tank dry. And I knew at the time that there's a risk in doing that, isn't there? You never know. Well, it was about 11 o'clock at night when I did it, so it wasn't a great time of day. It depends where you're going to be as well, whether you've got your phone with you, whether it's charged, as to how you deal with it. Are you near a petrol station? And can you walk there to get there? Anyway, so that it's risky. But I understand that it's also unhealthy. It's damaging for your car. Firstly, to let it run dry. But even to run it with the fuel too low is unhealthy. And I want to suggest that that's the same for us as we think about these spiritual, our spiritual well-being, but all of these dials, to run too low for too long is damaging. So I ask again, where is your dial on your spiritual well-being today? What is our spiritual well-being? What does it even mean? Some of the other stuff we get, physical well-being we get, emotional we might have a sense of. But what does it mean for us to be spiritually well? Well, just as we are physical beings and we are emotional beings, we are also spiritual beings. So our spiritual well-being refers to the state of our spiritual life. We're created by a creator God who created us to be in relationship with him. He literally designed us to have a relationship with him. And those of us who don't, and I'm hoping that's not us in the room, but those people who don't have that have a sense within them of an emptiness, that there's something missing, and they try and fill it with all sorts of other things. But we were designed to be in relationship with God, a spiritual relationship. So it's not a physical relationship. Some people had a physical relationship with Jesus. It's not an emotional relationship. It goes much deeper than that. It's a spiritual relationship. And our spiritual well-being is at its best, at its most healthy, when we are in a close relationship with God. And today, as you've heard, we return to the story of Elijah. And we're going to see what this story has to teach us about our spiritual well-being. And just by way of a little recap, so the story that we've been looking at in Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, is the story of Elijah's, essentially it's his breakdown. If you look in 1 Kings 18, there's an amazing victory. God has a victory through Elijah over the prophets of Baal. And despite that, we come to this point, to the next chapter, and Elijah is at the end of himself. And he says, Lord, just take my life now. He said, I've got nothing left. What is this all about? So he's gone from the mountaintop into the valley, not literally, but figuratively. The threats of Queen Jezebel have derailed him. And he comes to this place and he pours out his anxiety before God. As Paul was talking about a little bit last week, he shares his emotional sense with God. He calls out to God and God sends an angel. Not once, but twice. And the angel says, get up and eat. So he does. And then he naps. Yes. And then the angel comes back again and says, right, now get up and eat again, because the journey is too much for you. So Elijah got up and he ate and he drank and drank, and strengthened by the food, that physical food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights, it says in Scripture, until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? So he went to this mountain. But what was he doing there? Why was he at Mount Horeb? And does anybody know anything about Mount Horeb? You've been there. Wonderful. See, I didn't know much about it. It's good. So it physically exists. That's always a good start. The thing that I discovered this week, as I was preparing and studying, is that it's another name for Mount Sinai. What do we know about Mount Sinai? There were some amazing things that happened at Mount Sinai. Moses encountered God at Mount Sinai in the burning bush. God miraculously provided water from a rock to demonstrate to Moses what God could do through him. He gave water to the thirsty Israelites. The mountain was set apart as a holy place. It was a place of encounter. And this is where Elijah chose to go. The angel didn't say, here's where you need to be. God didn't say, I want you over there. Elijah got up and he went to Mount Horeb, to this place of encounter where God had met with Moses, where Moses had received the word of the Lord in the form of the Ten Commandments. And we hear in another part of scripture that the glory of the Lord settled there on the mountain. So Elijah goes to this place of encounter. It's known to be a place of encounter, and he goes there, and God says to him, what are you doing here? I wonder if what he meant was, why have you come here? It wasn't so much about actually what are you doing. Why here? And I've got no basis in scripture for this, but I wonder if Elijah went there because he'd poured himself out before God. He said, look, I've got nothing left. And I wonder if something in him said, amazing things happened on the mountain when Moses was there. I just wonder if that's where God is going to do something with me. Maybe he went there exactly because it was a place of encounter. And Elijah gets asked this question twice. So the angel comes and says, get up and eat, twice. And Elijah gets asked the question by God twice as well. And this is God expressing his desire to speak with Elijah. It's not a rhetorical question or a rhetorical device. It's not just to get, you know, something back. This is God expressing a desire to engage with Elijah. And somebody said, I read it this week, somebody said, when an all-knowing God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. I love that. When an all-knowing God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. So why is he asking it? See, I love to spend time with my son, Isaac, and I love it even more when he's looking at me and he's not on his phone and we have a conversation. Brilliant and beautiful sometimes. And God loves that connection with us as well. So I believe that this question to Elijah is about what's going on with you, Elijah? This is God asking him to express a little bit more. What's going on with you? Let's have a conversation. Look, if Jesus himself needed to spend time with his Father, how much more do we need to spend time with our Heavenly Father? Elijah met with the Lord at Mount Horeb, the place of encounter. So where is your place of encounter? I don't have a local mountain I can go to. There's a mount, but it's not quite the same thing. And at the minute, it's a bit tricky. I've not tried it on my crutches, but if I did, I wouldn't get very far. But where is your place of encounter? Where do you go to deliberately spend time with God and hopefully meet with God, have an encounter with God? It might be the local park. It might be a coffee shop. It might be a comfy seat in a particular room in your house. But where do you go? Maybe you go walking. Maybe it's not a place. Maybe it's a thing that you do which enables you to encounter God in a particular way. But where do you encounter God best? Or how do you encounter God best? Wherever it is, whatever it is, I encourage you to go there often, to do that often. And meet with God in that place of encounter. And then something amazing happens at the mountain. Not just that question. But it says in verse 9, it says that the word of the Lord came to him. the word of the Lord came to him. Now, when the Bible speaks of the word of the Lord, it's a big deal. The word of the Lord, if you look throughout scripture, the word of the Lord creates and sustains everything. The word of the Lord is a big deal. It's important stuff. The word of the Lord brings God's plans and purposes for people. The word of the Lord reveals God to us. The word of the Lord is a gift from God to us. If I'm hungry, I can choose to eat something and satisfy that hunger. If I'm tired, I can choose to nap or have a good night's sleep and satisfy my need for rest. But I can't just produce the word of God for myself. However much I think I might need it, I can't just produce it myself. It's a gift that God gives to us. And God can speak to us by his word. He can give us his word, just as he spoke to Elijah. But the question is, are you listening? Are we listening for what it is that he has to say to us? When Elijah was down and out, he needed food for his body and rest for his soul. And God knew that he needed the word of the Lord to come to him for his spiritual well-being. And the word of the Lord is what we need for our spiritual well-being too. We heard earlier in the story that Elijah was hungry and an angel brings him bread. And it reminds me of the story of Jesus at the end of his temptation in the desert. 40 days and 40 nights. Does that sound familiar? Yes. 40 days and 40 nights without physical food, and he's hungry, and the devil tempts him and says, "You can do it. Turn these stones into bread and eat and satisfy your hunger." And Jesus says, "No." But look at the way that he says no in Matthew 4 and verse 4. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of the Lord is our spiritual bread, our spiritual food. Our physical food is good and we need it, but alone it's not enough. As bread is good for our physical well-being, the word of God is good for our spiritual well-being. It feeds our soul, it strengthens us, it encourages us. But more importantly, it helps us develop our relationship with God. And the very best and easiest and clearest way to receive the word of the Lord is to read your Bible. I'm teaching Granny to suck eggs, I realise that. But every chapter, every verse, every word is God inspired. It's good for teaching and rebuking and building up and convicting. And God can speak to us through every single page of the word. But he can also speak to us directly whilst we're reading it. And it might be about something that seems totally unrelated to what you're reading. But God can speak to us as we're reading it. I often find that with other books. If I read a book on habits and I'm just thinking about what does that look like for me, God will speak to me about something else completely unrelated. And I'll put the book down and quickly make a note of it and come back to that later and then carry on reading. If he can do that with a regular book about any old nonsense, he can do it through his word. We can receive the word of the Lord through reading scripture. We can receive the word of the Lord whilst we're praying. But God wants to give it to us. It is a gift for us and a gift that will develop our relationship with him. So three things I just want to leave us with to help us increase our spiritual well-being. So these are three steps, if you like. Take any one of them or take all three of them. And however big or however little you want to do. But the first is to make reading your Bible a habit. And whether you read the physical book, if I'm studying, I want to read the book. But if I'm looking up a verse or if I feel that God's inspired me about something or given me a verse, I'll look it up on my phone. But I tend not to do much reading at length on my phone. It's all there, but I don't do it on that because there's so many distractions there as well. So whether you read the physical book or whether you read it by your phone or online, whatever, but read the Bible regularly. Make it a habit. Make time. Find a place and discover the way that works best for you, because we're all different and the time of day that's best for you. Some of you will be up at 5 a.m. and that's the best time for you to read your Bible. If I'm up at 5 a.m, I'm barely functioning. That's not a good time for me to read my Bible. What works for you? But more importantly, as you read it, be expectant to hear from God. Off the page and in your head, in your mind, in your heart. So first thing, make reading the Bible a habit. The second one, obey the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Be expecting that God's going to speak and then be listening for what he says and obey them. And it might be huge, significant, important stuff that God is doing in your life or that God is revealing to you, but it might be a tiny little whisper. But whatever it is that God is saying to you through it, whether it's a big booming voice or a tiny little whisper, be obedient. Trust the whispers of the Holy Spirit. If God puts someone on your mind regularly, then message them, call them, write to them, send them a verse, send them a gift, something. Just say to them, God's just put you on my heart again. I think that God wants me to say hello. Or, you know, God's doing something in your life and he wants me to just have a word with you about it. Whatever it is, that sounded a bit threatening actually, didn't it? But whatever it is, just obey those whispers of the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is start with Jesus. Put Jesus at the centre of your life. Make him your first priority. God's question to Elijah was, what are you doing here? Maybe Jesus' question for us is the same. Ricky, what are you doing here? Maybe it's especially true for those of us who would say our dial is on empty. And maybe just as Elijah did, as he restated what he'd been doing, God gave him a new sense of conviction about the call that he'd got. He reminded him of the call he'd given and said, it's not over yet. And Elijah went on. Maybe that will happen for you as well. We had a minister's cluster meeting this week, and one of the ministers there in our sharing time, she just said, I asked myself this question just before Christmas. God, what am I doing here? And then she went to reel off all the things that God has done there in January already. And she said, and God's just reminded me exactly why I'm there. So maybe that would be your experience as well. That when Jesus says, or when you say to him, what am I doing here? I hope that he'll reel off a long list for you. Well, this and that and that and the other. This is what I have for you. So whether we are talking about the fuel tank on our car or our spiritual well-being gauge, running on empty or nearly empty for any amount of time is risky and it's damaging. So what small steps do you need to take to improve and increase your spiritual well-being? I'm going to hand over to Linda, who's going to introduce some people to us, and they're going to share their experiences.
Yes, it's great to hear how God spoke to Elijah many, many years ago. But we thought it would be an opportunity and helpful to ask a couple of people to come and share briefly about an occasion where they spent time with God, listening to him and how he spoke to them. And firstly, Anna, if you'd like to come forward, please. Anna, with her husband, Matt, and children, Ariella and Ezra, have recently moved to Raleigh and have been worshipping with us for some time, although you may not have seen them as they normally sit in the family area at the back of the church. So over to you, Anna. Thank you.
I wrote it on my phone. I hope that's okay. And sorry if I took some of your points.
No. Sorry if I took some of
yours. So Linda's already introduced me. My name's Anna. I've got two children, Ariella, Ezra, and my husband is Matt. And I also work part-time as a Spanish teacher, so there's quite a lot going on. I've been going to the Wellbeing Journey Connect group on a Monday, and last week we talked about the importance of being real with each other. Therefore, firstly, I just want to be completely honest and say that there have been times, especially in the last couple of years since having two children, that I have felt really far from God. Not that God was far from me, because I knew he was always there, but I was struggling to spend time with God. I found that when you have two small children, they want all your attention during the day, and then by the time they're in bed, you've got no energy to do anything productive. So, a few things I've found really helpful recently. Firstly, actually being in church. So for a long time we were just doing church online, and for me it wasn't the same. I found it harder to engage with what's going on and harder to connect with God. And I think that's mainly because the kids are there, they've got all of their normal toys to play with, and I'm still surrounded by all of the jobs in the house that I know need doing. So it's much harder to focus on what's actually going on in church. So well done to everyone online who is actually managing that. Secondly, when I'm up before the kids for work, I have to get up really early for my school. And when I'm up before everyone else in the house, I do use that time while I'm eating my breakfast to read the Bible. And I find that time really nice. I'm on my own. There's no other distractions. But obviously, inevitably, sometimes Ezra will wake up early as well. So that time's gone. Thirdly, while cooking dinner, I like to listen to worship music. It's usually a really calm time of the day for me to bring any requests to God and to thank him for whatever he has done. Fourthly, when I'm out walking, I like to make a point of being really present, looking around at God's creation, and being thankful for everything that God has made lets me encounter him in that way. So one last story, and this is actually the specific story that I spoke to Linda about. So the start of 2021, we decided to move house. We didn't know where God wanted us to be. After lots of talking and looking on Rightmove, one evening we sat and actually prayed about it together, me and Matt. I'd done a lot of praying on my own, but not with Matt. But as soon as we asked God to show us where he wanted us to be, I just heard that whisper, God said, Rayleigh. This is a great example that even though our lives are so busy, when we do remember to talk to God, he answers. And God meets us where we are, even in all of the chaotic day-to-day stuff. So, if you could pray for us as busy parents to remember all of that, that would be amazing. Thank you.
Helpful. Now, Carol. Carol probably needs no introduction. She is one of our trustees, and she's agreed to share too. Thank you.
Linda spoke to me about sharing something, and for me, very often I feel closest to God. It will be no surprise to you that that's when I'm out and about in nature and walking and spending time with the wildlife and the trees around. And I remember one particular day, and it was just an example of this, and God often seems to get my attention with something that's unusual, something that's just a bit unusual. And it's almost like a get your attention moment. I was walking with a friend, and it was the time of year over in Gusted Hall when we have such beautiful bluebells. It's a carpet of bluebells over there, and I was walking with a friend. And in amongst a group of beautiful bluebells under a tree, there was just a single white bluebell all on its own in amongst this carpet, and it made it so much more beautiful, and it was so unusual. And I said to my friend, and I felt God nudging me, I said, that white bluebell's like you at the moment. Oh, that's a funny thing to say, isn't it? A white bluebell's like you. It turned out that actually she was having quite a difficult time feeling isolated at work, because she wasn't working with other Christians in a very non-Christian environment, and she was standing out a bit from the rest of the group. She was bringing God's love to them and sharing things with them and trying to love them, but it's not always easy. And it was very much in the sort of your in the world but not of the world moment. And often I'm reminded, God will remind me of a scripture for something that I can see around me. And this led to a whole conversation with her where I was able to really encourage her that God felt she was beautiful. There was a significance to the being clothed in white as a bluebell rather than blue. And she just felt so encouraged by that, that God knew where she was and what was happening. And I think just to me then, listening to God is often listening in the everyday and then being prepared to share that, but backed up by the scripture that you know is behind that. So I hope that's helpful.
Yes, thanks very much, Anna and Carol. Two very different examples there of situations where God has spoken clearly to individuals, both for guidance, direction, and to bless and encourage someone else. So now let's. Oh.
I found it really helpful that just that one little, I mean, it was all helpful from both of you, thank you, but that one little bit where Anna said, I felt far from God, but I knew that God wasn't far from me. And there was a great bit in this well-being book, which we'll talk about next week. And it's a bit from Jeff Lucas, and it's, I don't know about you, but if the Wi-Fi goes off at home, I know that generally the broadband's probably okay, it's just a problem in the house somewhere. The problem's my end, it's not the other end, generally. And I can go and do something about it, I can reset it, and this, that, and the other. And it just struck me that that's what it's like sometimes when we feel that God's gone quiet on us. But actually my experience, much like Anna's, I think, is that actually it's that I've stopped listening rather than it's God has stopped speaking. And this quote from Jeff Lucas. Sorry, I've reached that age. And it talks about us not hearing God. Perhaps we don't hear him more because we're looking for him to say something new, when actually he might be bringing us back to a previous statement that we've ignored or disobeyed. And certainly, he says, this was Elijah's experience. Once out of the cave, cloak wrapped around his face for fear that he might actually see the Lord, it's question time again. What are you doing here, Elijah? Same old question. Back to square one. Sometimes we feel as if God has gone silent on us. Perhaps it's good to check and make sure that last time he spoke, we heard and responded. And as I read that this week, I was reminded of my experience as I'd sensed the call to ministry, and about 2 years after I'd sensed that call to ministry, I was still fighting it because I was enjoying the job I was doing and I didn't want to be obedient. And I definitely felt God had gone quiet, but I think it was definitely me that had stopped listening. And so twice God spoke to me in an audible voice. Never done it since. I don't expect he'll ever do it again, but it was almost like it was that moment just to get my attention back, because I'd spent 2 years ignoring him. I mean, I was still in a relationship with him, but there was that conversation that I'd ignored. And God spoke to me for that moment and for that time and has never done it again. God can get your attention if he needs to, but it's so much easier and less painful if we listen and if we obey the things that he tells us.